Wow, you built me up way too big. All right. Hey, it's great to just have the opportunity to hang out with you guys this morning. If this is your first time, I want to encourage you to come back next week and hear Pastor Heath. He is a much better preacher than I am. And so just love that guy. Love your pastor. In an appropriate way, created just a great friendship with him. And have, you know, been praying. We pray together. We meet if you ever think about it, on a Wednesday morning, Pastor Heath and I get together and have coffee, and we hold each other accountable, and we pray for each other, and just encourage each other. And it's just been a great friendship. I want you to know that our church has a great affection for this church. Crosswinds loves Reach Community. It loves The Point, and it loves Coastal Vineyard. We from the very beginning, day one, realized that the vision of Crosswinds had to be so much bigger than a single church. Because, see, we're a part of what God is doing in the Leland area, and that it's so much bigger than one church. It's about the kingdom growing. It's about the heart of the church, and that's what God desires. He says in his word that they will know us by our love for one another, and that's really important for us. And know that Pastor Heath has that, and this church, the leaders here at the church, have that same heartbeat. And so what a privilege it is to be here. One of the things that we have talked about that I just want to begin by sharing with you guys is that we want you to understand this. Is that although our friendships have developed over the course of the last year, that is not church unity. Church unity is not four pastors who get together and encourage each other. That's a part of it. But church unity is, what does it look like for the body to care about each other, to serve together? That's what church unity is. And it's not about pastor swapping, really. It's really not. Now, I will say this, is that I've actually communicated that over the last few weeks. I have other friends that are pastors, and I've told them, hey, I'm going to another pastor in my community to preach at his church. And they're like, what? You're doing what? Because it's very rare that another pastor lets another pastor in their community preach at their church, because there's always this fear of, what if they like him better than me? But what I love about Pastor Heath and Pastor George is that our greatest concern is for the kingdom and about what God wants to do and how he's going to change lives. And we continue to say at Crosswinds, hey, if this is not the place for you, then we hope more than anything you'll find a place that is Christ-centered, that is built around Scripture, that you can find a place to get connected. Because I know everybody's not going to like me. And I just have to be okay with that. And I believe that out of that, God continues to just build his kingdom here in Leland. In the last 6 years, I don't know if you guys know this, but in the last 6 years, we planted Crosswinds just over 6.5 years ago. And in the course of that time, there's been 9 church plants in Leland, North Carolina. 9 church plants. Now, some of you might say, oh my gosh, that's way too many churches. No, it's not. Because do you know that Brunswick County, probably 80% of Brunswick County is lost without Jesus? So you tell me if 9 church plants is too many. That's about 80,000 people. So if you look at a county of 100,000 people and you say that 20,000 people go to church, let's use the term go to church pretty loosely. That means 80,000 people are lost without Jesus. And if God's brought 9 church plants into Leland, North Carolina, it means God's doing something, or he's about to do something. And you're a part of that. Don't ever lose sight of that. Don't ever get caught up in counting how many people are in these seats. That's not your impact. Your impact is what you do when you walk into your neighborhood and you go into your workplace and you walk into Piggly Wiggly. That's your impact. Because there are a lot of people that we can reach that may never step a foot in a church in Leland, North Carolina. That doesn't mean that we don't have a calling to still reach them and lead them to Jesus. And so I just want to encourage you with that this morning. I want to start. We are in Sermon on the Mount. And this is your last week in this. And I'm going to actually be preaching out of Matthew chapter 6, where we talk about where it is that we're storing up treasures. And so kind of the big thought for this morning is this. What is it in life? What is it that matters the most? If I were to ask you the question, what in your life matters the most? If we were to make a list, okay, if we were to have some lists, we were to have a big whiteboard up here, and we were to start to make some lists of what matters to most in your life, what would that list look like? Like, what are the things that you would write down? Now, obviously, we're sitting in church, and if I were to ask you to speak out loud, you're going to say what? What's your first thing that you say is the most important thing in your life? God. That's because that's your Jesus answer. That's your Sunday school answer, right? Okay, but let's take a step back and let's look at the last 7 days of your life. If you were to list the last 7 days of your life, the last 14 days, the last month, the last year, would you say that God is at the top of that list? That He is the most important thing in your life? Would that be the thing that you have put the most value on in life? Think about that. I want to start in 2 Timothy 3. It says this, 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 1 through 7. But mark this. This kind of sets up our culture today. This is kind of just a clear, I don't know that you can, there's probably other scriptures, but this one I felt specifically led to that paints a picture of our culture today. Even with a lot of our society just in the last few months and a lot of things that we have seen transpiring in the last few months. It says this, but mark this. There will be terrible times in the last days. People will be lovers of themselves. They will be lovers of money. They will be boastful. They will be proud. They will be abusive. They will be disobedient to their parents. They will be ungrateful, unholy, without love, unforgiving, slanderous, without self-control, brutal, not lovers of good. They will be treacherous, rash, conceited, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God. Having a form. Now listen, this is kind of where it brings the church into this. Because we could probably say, okay, well, yeah, that paints our picture. But this is probably, if we were to be really honest, where it might actually bring the church into this whole discussion. It says this. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. Having a form of godliness, but denying its power. I believe that passage in 2 Timothy actually paints a very clear picture of our culture today. If we were to say, what does our culture look like? Okay, we would say they're lovers of themselves, right? They're lovers of money. So we put a high value on, me. We put a high value on the financial things that we have. You're somebody if you have a very nice house. You're somebody if you drive a nice car. You're somebody if you have a nice position in a company. You're somebody. But if you don't have those things in our culture, you're not much of anything. And so we've become lovers. Our culture has become lovers of the things that don't really matter the most. Now, you all have a birthday, right? What's that birthday? Mine is July 11th, 1972. I just celebrated my 43rd birthday just a few weeks ago. And so I know when I was born. I was there. I don't remember it, right? My mom and dad tell me that that's when I was born. I'm one of four kids. I'm the baby of four kids. My mom was almost 40 when she had me. She still tries to convince me these days that I wasn't an oops, this just happened. But I don't believe it. I haven't bought into that just yet. But I know my birthday. But listen, I don't know my end date. Do you know your end date? But here's the reality of it is. The reality of it is that we all have an end date. We all have an end date. God says in his word that our day, not only are our hairs numbered, that he knows the number of every hair, but he also numbered our days. And so the question becomes, what are we going to value the most in the days that we've been given? The days that we've been given. Because the reality of it is that you don't know if you're even going to live another minute, another hour, another day. And so what you do in that span of time from date to date on your tombstone, you'll have a beginning date, you'll have an end date, but those dates don't really matter. Your birthday doesn't really matter. Your end date doesn't really matter. It's that dash in the middle that actually really matters in life. And that's what people are going to say about you. Not that that matters, but that's what people are going to say about you. But here I want to put it in perspective. If we were to take a rope, I actually meant to bring a rope today and forgot it. If we were to take a rope and and stretch it from this side to this side, and that rope kind of represented our life when we were living, breathing, but it also represented eternity, okay? It also represented eternity, which we know that eternity goes on forever, so the rope would have no ending. But if you were to take that rope and stretch it out, our life that we actually are alive, birth date to end date, would probably look, a span of our life on that rope would probably be about like this. Do you realize that's what your life is really all about? And how you spend, okay, rope from here to there, you got the picture? And this is your life. When you were born, when you died, so maybe it would be way over here, right? And the rest of it represents eternity. What you do in this span matters for the rest of your life. Because what you do here will determine where you spend the rest of eternity. You value the things of God. You have a relationship with God. That's going to determine where you spend eternity. You become a lover of yourself and buy into the culture and what it says, lovers of money, lovers of themselves, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, then your eternity is a whole nother ball game. Because you've chosen to put value on the things that the world put values on instead of valuing the things that God values. And we spend our eternity in a whole nother place. Now I know there are a lot of people who come to church and they don't want to talk about hell. It's a reality, folks. Welcome to the real world. God does allow people to go to hell. But he also allows you to have the ability to make a choice as to whether you're going to value the things of God or you're not going to value the things of God. He's not some puppet master. He's not going to hold on to you and force you to love him and force you to have a relationship with him. And if you don't have that relationship with him, then your eternal destination is hell. And if you do live for the things of God, we're not perfect. We're not going to always do everything right. But if our hearts are in the right place, wanting to live for the things of God, then your heart, then when you get to eternity, you're going to be spending it celebrating God and worshiping him instead of temporary pleasures. And so that kind of set up. So life is a stewardship. Everything that you've been given, you have the opportunity to steward. Francis Chan, a great writer of the book, wrote Crazy Love. He wrote a book called Racing Hell. He wrote a bunch of other really good books. Great communicator, says this, that our greatest fear is not the fear of failure. But our greatest fear should be of coming to the end of our life and realizing that we've succeeded at the wrong things. So our fear shouldn't be a failure, but our fear should be that we come to the end of our life and realize that what we have lived those days for really weren't that important. They really weren't that important. So let's look at this passage in Matthew chapter 6. Everything you've been given to steward. And we have to fight for the things that matter the most. God knows that for most of us, temporary treasures and temporary pleasures will be the number one competitor for your heart. Because listen. Every single day, you've got the world beating its messages into your head, whether you like it or not. If you walk into Walmart, you've got those messages being beat into your head. You walk through the line, what do you see on both sides? If you watch any amount of TV, that's all you see. If you're on the internet, that's all you... There aren't a whole lot of God things being stuck into your head unless you're taking the initiative to allow those things to be stuck in your head. So you're having to filter through those messages. I mean, put yourself in the teenage population right now. I mean, for some of us adults, maybe we're not quite as... We still have those influences in our life, but everything in a teenager's life, just about, unless you're a parent that's speaking into their life, it's all negative messages. You. And so having to filter through those things and decipher those things and make what really matters can be a major struggle for us in our life. So God says this. So Jesus is hanging out with his disciples, and probably you've already been told this. He takes his disciples. They go up on this mount. Okay, they're hanging out there. And Jesus spends some time teaching this Sermon on the Mount. One of the things I've liked to say at each church I've been at is this. It took Jesus one sitting to talk about this. It took us four pastors and 4 weeks to do one Jesus message. So that shows you how good we're not. Okay, and so Jesus is hanging out with his disciples, and he begins to walk through all these things. And the four of us over these last 4 weeks, we've only touched the surface of what Jesus tried to preach in these 4 weeks. So if you haven't been reading the Sermon on the Mount, you need to go back and read it. And you need to go back and read it and reread it and read it and read it and read it and read it. Because these are the things that Jesus said to his disciples. Because here's what he knew. He knew what the disciples, Jesus is really smart. He knew what the disciples were going to face when his time came to go, to leave the earth. And so he's setting them up saying, guys, these are the things that are really important that you need to make valuable in your life. And he said, but be careful, because if you read all the way to the end of the Sermon on the Mount, he says, but be careful. He said, because we'll say a lot of things, but we won't do anything. Wow, that's the church. The church, some churches say a lot, but don't do anything. Listen, if we're going to pay attention to the word and we're going to value the word in our life, it can't just be for information. There's a lot of church people who know a lot of information, but if it doesn't change you, then it's only information. And God has so much more through his word. So here's what he says in Matthew chapter 6. They're sitting down. Just picture us. We're the disciples. Put yourself in that situation. We're hanging out on the mount. Jesus is teaching us. He's already taught us a few things. And he goes here. He says this. Don't store up treasures, verse 19. Don't store up treasures here on earth where moth eat them and rust destroys them, where thieves break in and steal. Store your treasures in heaven where moth and rust cannot destroy and where thieves do not break in and steal. Wherever your treasure is, the desires of your heart will be also. So whatever the things that you value the most, that's what your heart is going to be tied to. Okay, hear that? Now it's interesting because all of a sudden, out of that passage, Jesus takes a little bit of a turn and says this, your eye is the lamp. Okay, hold on a minute, Jesus. You were just talking about treasures, but now you're talking about the things that I see. You're talking about my eyesight. But Jesus has got a point behind all this. He said, your eye is the lamp that provides light for your body. While your eye is good, your whole body is filled with light. But when your eye is bad, your whole body is filled with darkness. And if the light you think you have, is actually darkness, how deep the darkness is. What? I'm like, because I was like reading through that. I'm like, okay, Jesus, why the like 90 degree turn about our eyes and what we see? Because here's the deal. When we start to give our heart to something, it begins where? With our eyesight. I remember the first time I saw my wife. Bam! It was like, yes. I mean, I wasn't walking around blind and I saw her and my heart got tied to her. No, I saw her and we started a friendship, and out of my eyesight, my heart became tied to her, and then out of my heart becoming tied to her, then I wanted more, right? I wanted to marry her. I wanted to do things for her. And so Jesus knows, especially in our culture, listen, especially in our culture, that we have to guard the things that we see. Because our culture says, nice car, big house, this, that. And listen, I'm not saying it's wrong to have those things. But when those things become more important than God, then there's a major problem. Because then Jesus says, then Jesus goes on to say, you cannot serve, verse 24, you cannot serve two masters. Either you will love the one and despise the other, or you will be devoted to the one No one can serve two masters, for you will hate one and you will love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Wow. Jesus wrote, this was written how many thousands of years ago? And Jesus knew our culture, God knew what our culture would be like today, that we would be so bought into the idea that if we just have money, everything's going to be okay. Now, can money make life a little better? Let's be honest, yeah. But when it becomes your master, then it becomes a problem. And so Jesus is hanging out with his disciples. He says, you know, what you treasure, what are the things that you're going to treasure? Do you care about the things here on earth? Or do you care about what I care about? You know, be careful of your eyes, because your eyes will lead you to put value on things that don't really matter. You'll tie your heart to things that don't really matter to God. And be careful of money, because it can, and other things can, become your master instead of allowing God to be your master. And so God's kind of teaching us this, which was really important. Okay, so we have to understand the context a little bit. The disciples came out of a culture that it was all about rules, right? So they lived in a culture where it was about 619 laws. And as long as you followed those laws, then you were good. Now, you tell me this. Who has the ability to follow 619 rules? Because in those days, not even the Pharisees who made up these rules. You see, they took the Ten Commandments and they added some 609 other laws to them that they expected the people to follow. And here's what Jesus is saying. You know what? Those 619 things, they don't really matter. Because your treasure is the things that matter to God. And a lot of those things were only temporary things. You couldn't wear your hair a certain way. You couldn't wear earrings. You couldn't have tattoos. You couldn't do all of this. And God said, nope. And then we know that Jesus, in one moment, when approached by the Pharisees, said, which is the greatest commandment? And Jesus said, it's not the Ten Commandments. It's not the 619 laws that you've got to follow. He said, the most important thing is this, love God and love others. Man, he just put the smack down on the Pharisees. And I love how Jesus is able to do that. And so we have to take that into context. Because listen, we can get into the church and we can think it's about just doing the right things. Okay? Following the rituals. If I just show up at church, pat myself on the back, go home, it's all good. My attendance. Oh, if I just put money in the offering plate, then I'm all good. That's rubbish to Jesus. Because if your heart's not in it, do you think he cares? He wants our heart to be tied to the things that matter the most. So we can come to church and we can go through our routine. And Jesus even says this, there will be some who will miss the whole point. They will prophesy in my name. They will heal people. But you know what? When they stand before God, you know what he'll say? Away from me. I never knew you. So you can actually do things. The church can do things good for people and not have a relationship with Jesus. You can read the scripture and not have a relationship with Jesus because we just read it for information, not for transformation. And so we have to navigate through these things and ask ourselves, where is our heart? Where is our heart? Are we fighting for the things that matter the most? So I started just processing through that and started asking the question, okay, so what are some of the treasures that we have to be able, that God's given us, that we have to be able to leverage for God's kingdom? And I had to ask this question. So what is it that you value in life? What is it that we value in life? And what is it that you have as a treasure? You see, because we've set life up to be about others' approval, about our own personal gain, instead of for God's glory. Everything that God's given us, if we use it for His glory, then our hearts are tied in the right place. But if we're using it for our personal gain or because we want approvals of others, then our hearts are not in the right place. You see, our culture has bought into and put high value on four things specifically that this morning that I've already mentioned: money, power, possessions, and sex. You're like, what? Sex? Yep, sex. Okay. You know that human trafficking is a multi-billion-dollar industry. $multi-billion. So do you believe that our culture has put a high value on sex? Absolutely. Do you know that Wilmington is the number 10 city in North Carolina for human trafficking? Because of the state port and because of its access to Highway 95 between Florida and New York. It's become a place. I just learned some of these statistics just recently. You know that in the malls is where they go shopping for young girls. And it's not always guys. They have girls that'll go into the mall and they will prompt them by saying, hey, you sure are pretty. And if the girl says, no, I'm not, boom, they got them hooked. But if they say, well, thank you very much, then they actually leave them alone. So you tell me if our society, why do you think the porn industry is so multi-billion dollar? Because we've put a high value on sex. And my question is, what's the church doing about it? Is all these things, they just become counterfeit gods. They promise false happiness, false security, and false pleasure. And eventually runs out. So there's four specific treasures I want to talk about this morning that I believe we should value that God's given us. The first treasure is this, the treasure of relationships. What are we going to do with the relationships we've given? Most importantly, your relationship with God. Is your relationship with God your most valuable treasure? Is it your most valuable treasure? You know how you can know? Look at how you spend your time. How much time do you spend in the Word? How much time do you spend in relationship with Him? You're like, well, that's really hard for me. You know what? Welcome to the club. Welcome to the club. There's times in life when as a pastor, I struggle in my relationship with God. I don't always feel like God's really close. I feel like sometimes when I pray, my prayers hit the ceiling and they don't go much further than that. But you know what? Just because I don't feel like God is present doesn't mean that God is absent. And so do you treasure that relationship? When I'm struggling in my relationship with God and I feel like He's not there, you know what? Then I probably need to dig down a little bit deeper and I need to keep working harder to have that relationship with Him. I need to be in the Word some more. I need to spend some more time praying with Him, talking to Him. I need to spend some time with people who are encouraging me, invested in me, talking to me about Him. You know, I think maybe sometimes God puts a little distance between me and Him so that I'll work a little harder to know Him a little bit more, because I can never know enough about God. In my date of birth to my date of death, I can never know enough about God. I can always be learning about Him. So I know you thought I had it all figured out, but I don't. And neither does Pastor Heath. But his heart is in the right place. His heart is to know Jesus. What about the relationships that you have with other people around you? How often do we take those relationships for granted? Because let me tell you, when you lay on your deathbed, if you're the only one there, you will have totally missed the point. You'll know if you valued your relationships. I don't want you to wait till that point to see if you actually valued your relationships. You're not going to want to die alone, if you even have the ability to be able to do that. If it doesn't come quicker than in an instant, what about the relationships that you do have? And my encouragement to you with this would be, put the phone down. Get off the computer and value the time that you have with people in your life. Texting is not a way to have a relationship with somebody. I know they might be sitting right beside of you. My teens do it too. They sit right beside each other and they're like, doo-doo-doo-doo. I'm like, just talk to them. They're sitting right there. Get off Facebook and have a relationship. I'm having to learn that. My kids got a phone, and I'm having to learn that there are times when we just got to say, you know what? You're totally addicted to your phone. Put your phone away. Hey, sometimes mom and dad got to put their phone down too, because we become addicted just as much. And so value the relationships that you give, and most importantly, the relationship with God, the relationship that God's put, with others that God's put in your life, your treasure of time. What are you doing with your time? Like, if you were to list out what you do throughout your day or throughout your week, are you treasuring the time that you've been given? Time is of high value. How do you use it? James 4:14 says this, life is but a mist, it's but a vapor. It's here today, gone tomorrow. You're not promised another minute. And so you have to value the time that you've been given. Again, put the phone down and focus on the fact that you have the ability to have relationships with people. And that God may have put you in places to influence people's lives. And that's what you need to put value on. The treasure of talent. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace. It is in its various forms. God has given the body of Christ different talents, and we're to use them for His glory. We're to use the relationships that we've been given to His glory. We're to use the time that we've been given to His glory. We've been given the talents that we've been given to His glory. And listen, if you're retired, you don't retire. You refire. And you use the time that you have to influence people's lives. Use your talents. And maybe you're sitting there saying, well, I don't have anything. I can't do anything. Don't believe that lie. It's a total lie from the enemy. Because you do have an ability to do something, because God created you and you're breathing. And you have a talent, a gift to give to someone. Maybe it's an encouraging word. Maybe you can mow the lawn like the best of them. Then go mow the lawn to His glory. Whatever that might look like. The treasure of financial resources. The treasure of financial resources. That's a treasure God's given you. Everything you have, God's given you. The time you've been given, the money you've been given. You're like, well, I don't have any money, okay? You know what? It's still a gift from God. You live in America, you know what? You're one of the richest people in the world. You're one of the richest people in the world. You're the top 1% wealthiest people in the world if you live in America. You're like, Pastor Chris, I don't have anything. I don't have very much. What God has given you is a gift, and it's your responsibility to steward it. Because at any point, He can take what little or much you may have, and He can take it away. And so steward it to your best ability. Let your finances bring glory to God, regardless of what they may look like. Now listen. The problem is that we've bought into the lie of the culture that we can't do without. Listen, there are people who have cable who can't afford cable, but they still have it. There are people who have cell phones because our culture can't do without a cell phone. If you can't afford a cell phone, then don't have a cell phone. They still have pay phones every now and a few places. Borrow somebody's cell phone. No, I'm serious. Because here's what I did. So a few weeks ago, as I was preparing for this message, I sat down with my kids. And I said, what are the things that we're going to value in life? What are going to be a high value? Now, they're pastor's kids. So they said, oh, we were going to value God. You know, that was their Sunday school answer. And I was glad that that was their first answer. But we talked about, you know, our relationships. We're going to value the Word and our time together in the Word, together as a family. But I said, okay, we say those things, but is that reality? Because listen, what if we have two cars? I have three drivers in the family. Okay, my daughter just turned 16 about a year ago, just under a year ago. I have a son who just turned 15, so he's kind of driving too. But we have three drivers but two cars. So we have to, like, each week we have to do, like, this little juggling act. Okay, well, who's taking a car? Who's going where? Blah, blah. I said, what if tomorrow God says to us, give your car away? What are we going to do? Well, we can't give the car away because we have three drivers and we only have two cars. That means we only have one car. I said, okay, then we just put a higher value on our car than we did on God. Because we can't be obedient, because we've built our life around this, having two cars, but we can't be obedient to God because we've said that this is more valuable than that. I said, what if God tells us to sell our house next week? Are we going to be okay with that? Are you okay with going from, you know, each of you having your own room to now you've got to share a room? We don't have as much space. Are you okay with that? Or is our house more valuable? What if we have $100 in our pocket and God says, give it away? But that's your last $100. What are you going to do? You're going to put the value on your $100, or are you going to put the value on your obedience to the thing that God asked you to do? A few months ago, I was right here at the Go Gas, and I don't very rarely ever carry cash, so don't ask me for cash. And I was there. I just so happened to have $20 in my pocket. My wife and I had started this. We were trying to be better stewards of our financial resources, so we started using cash to pay for our gas. Okay, and so we had allotted, we budgeted, this is how much we had. I had $20 left in my pocket. And that was kind of the last, that was what I was going to use to get my next thing of gas. And so I'm sitting there, I'm putting gas in the car. This car comes pulling in the Go Gas beside of me. And as soon as the person pulled in, God said, give your $20 to that person. I'm like, hold on a minute. I can't do that. That's my last $20. I mean, God, I've made a budget. Like, I'm trying to be a good steward. Like, I'm budgeting my money. And he said, give your $20 away. And, like, I'm just, like, pumping the gas. And I'm like, I didn't want to do it. And I walked up the car, opened the door. I said, I think God just told me to give that $20. Like, are you okay? I was asking my wife if that was okay. Like, and she was like, well, whatever you feel. I shut the door. I'm going back. And I just, like, I said, okay, I'm going to do it. So I got it out. I kind of peeked around. Because I didn't want, it was a lady, and I didn't want to, like, freak her out like some weirdo here. And so I peeked around. I said, ma'am, I know this is really weird, but I really feel like God just told me to give you this $20. And she just started bawling. And she was just, thank you so much. She said, God knew exactly what I needed in this moment. But I almost let my value on $20 be more important than my value on my obedience to God. $20. And it was one of those moments where I had to say, okay, God, whatever you ask me to do, if it's small, if it's give my car away, then give my car away. If it's $5, then give $5 away. But I want my heart to be tied to the things that matter to you. I want my obedience to be more important than $20. Because we can become so tied into our culture that we lose sight of what's really important in life. And I would have totally missed an opportunity if I had not given that money to that lady. And I would have felt horrible about myself. But most importantly, I would have let that become more important than my obedience to God. We honor God. We honor God when we use with these things, when we store up treasures in heaven, when we value relationships, we see the treasure that they are, because a treasure is something that's valuable to you, right? It's something that's valuable to you. And if you make relationships valuable to you, then you value them and you give them time. You honor Jesus with those things. Because when we value the right things, it enables us to respond in obedience when God leads us. Let's pray together. I don't know why you're here this morning, but I know that God has a purpose for each one of you sitting in these chairs. And I wholeheartedly believe that He is trying to get your attention on maybe something in your life that you've put more valuable than God. And so in a moment of just silence, will you ask God, are there things in my life that I've made more valuable than You? Will you make a commitment to God? That God, I'm going to value, I'm going to fight. Because see, this, you're going to have to fight to make things of God more valuable than the things of this world, period. As long as you're alive, you're going to have to fight for to make those things of God more valuable than the things of the world. Every single day. And so you're going to have to fight, period. It's not like you just make a decision and, oh, you go out and live that way the rest of your life. You're going to have to fight for it every single day. And maybe you need to make a commitment right now. God, I just want to fight for what matters most and my relationship with You, how I spend my time. Maybe it's financially. Maybe you've been holding back. And God's saying, I just want you to take a step of faith, whether it's a little, whether it's a lot. Maybe today God's going to prompt you while you're at lunch or somewhere to give some money away, money that you don't have. And you're going to have to trade. You're going to have to make a decision. You're going to obey God or you're going to be disobedient. Maybe you're here this morning and you've never given your life to Christ. And maybe today is the beginning of a relationship with Him and starting over. It's a do-over moment for you. You've been valuing the things of the world more than you've been valuing the things of God. And God's trying to get your attention this morning. He's saying, this is the day. Start today. If that's you, would you just say this prayer? This is between you and God. This is not, you don't have to pray it to me. You pray it to God. Say, God, I'm sorry that I have made things in my life, other things more valuable than my relationship with You. And today I'm committing to You to start this journey of making You the most valuable thing in my life. Forgive me for trying to do this on myself. And today I am starting over. I'm starting anew. And I'm running after and fighting for the things that are valuable to You. If that's you and you maybe prayed that prayer or that's your thought this morning, would you just raise your hand? Maybe you're here for that reason and you're just saying, I got to go that direction. Thanks. In this moment of just quietness, would just let God speak to you.
God, would you just have your way in our lives this morning? God, help us to see that we can't have two masters. Relationships with others can't be our master. Time can't be our master. Finances can't be our master. Even our gifts and our talents can't be our master, God, that you are our master. And that today, God, we're not just here to pat ourselves on the back and sing a few songs and listen to the word, but we're to go home changed so that a world that's putting value on the wrong things will see churches and people and followers of Christ who are making God the most valuable thing in their life. Thank you, Jesus. You see, God showed his value for us by sending his son, Jesus, to die on the cross for us. The least we can do is make our Father, God, Abba Father, the most important thing. So God, help us as a church to value what you value and to make you the most important thing. In your name I pray. Amen.